I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. Boat building has been an integral part of Sturgeon Bay's fabric since the 1830s.
Amos Lovejoy is said to be the first shipbuilder here, 1838.
During the First and Second World War, hundreds of naval and support vessels, including the legendary PT boat, were built here.
All of a sudden, the war kicks in, and all these companies now need all of these employees to come in and actually build these boats.
In addition to boat building and repair, Sturgeon Bay is also a safe harbor during the midst of the winter for the 1,000-foot-long lake freighters. The Door County Maritime Museum chronicles and showcases the region's nautical history. In addition to engaging displays and artifacts, the museum also maintains the fully restored 100-year-old M.B. John Purvis tugboat.
Actually served in World War II, supplied the garrisons in the Aleutians.
Adam Grunke is the Maritime Museum's curator.
You know, when boat building really kicks off here in Sturgeon Bay, later on what ends up happening is that these different companies end up combining, right? And then you have, you know, bigger companies that end up taking over and, you know, big conglomerates. And what we have now is Fincantieri Bay Ship, which is, you know, Fincantieri is a worldwide boat building. We're right on the Sturgeon Bay Canal. The canal actually connects the Bay of Green Bay with Lake Michigan. During the winter, we get a lot of the freighters off of the Great Lakes. They come here and they do winter. They do...
Hide out.
Right. A lot of times they need repairs. And so they'll come in and get repairs. Otherwise, they sit for the winter, and then they're ready to go. So we get 1,000-foot ships that come through here, and they'll go through all three bridges. One of the most amazing parts of it is when they're coming through the canal, these 1,000-footers, they actually have to go through both bridges at the same time here.
They're so close to each other.
So close to each other. There's about 700 feet between the bridges. They actually have to open up both bridges to get through. And then they have the Bayview Bridge that they have to go through before they even get here.
Tug escorts, or are they?
Correct. Yes, they do. Selvig Marine Towing. They actually do a lot of the tug work for them. What ends up happening is these companies, you know, they start out small. Ribault and Walter, one of the first boat building companies here. Actually, Amos Lovejoy is said to be the first shipbuilder here.
In what period of time was that?
1838 is Amos Lovejoy. Obviously smaller craft. And then later on, you have other boat builders that come in, Ribault, Walter. As time goes on, you get companies like Peterson Boat Works, which becomes Peterson Builders. You have Bay Ship. Now Bay Ship Fincantieri, Universal Shipbuilding, and then that turns into different companies like Latham D. Smith. You know, geographically, we're in a spot where we're kind of destined to be a maritime industry, was kind of destined to be here. One of the big reasons is actually Door County, we actually have a rock called dolomite. It's like a limestone. And what ends up happening is this rock is actually used all over the Great Lakes. So we would quarry it here, and then we would bring it to different ports along Lake Michigan.
For building of courthouses.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So what ends up happening is, you know, there becomes a need for shipping this rock. And then also shipbuilders start popping up because there's also a need for the ships to do it.
You're talking on the one level, just navigating on the Great Lakes and inland maritime.
Right.
But yet at some point, this became a boat building center for the world, for the war effort, World War I, World War II. That's really fascinating.
We had a huge influence on the war effort. For Sturgeon Bay, that's one of our biggest pride for us is that, you know, we contributed so much in the boat building effort. Peterson Boat Works, Christie Corp, these companies become synonymous with boat building in the region and their efforts to build ships such as, you know, if we look at like the submarine chasers, aircraft rescue vessels, the PT boats. And in other ways, too, you know, you look at even how that war effort, how Sturgeon Bay came to rise to the occasion. If you look at during the war, we had a very, very small population here. All of a sudden, the war kicks in, and all these companies now need all of these employees to come in, you know, and actually build these boats. So we started actually shipping people in.
Wow.
We bus them in from other towns, from Green Bay, you know, and the town south of us. During the war, we had up to 7,000 employees for the shipyards.
But even today, it's still a very viable and a real anchor of the community economically, right?
It is. That's correct. Yeah, it's a big part of what makes Sturgeon Bay economically. Absolutely.
So you build commercial vessels and you build luxury yachts here for sultans and whatnot,
right? So, we had the Palmer Johnson, which built luxury yachts. They actually just closed the shipbuilding, their outfit closed in 2015. Before they closed, they were building luxury yachts for people all over the world. Yeah, I mean, heads of state, extremely influential figures in the world. We built one for the King of Spain, La Baronesa. Yeah, I mean, the influence from just this small community, once you really start to learn about it and you realize the influence that it's had all over the world, and whether it's in the war effort or whether it's, you know, building these luxury liners or, you know, base ship today, it's one of two major places where these Great Lakes freighters actually winter. Their ability as a shipbuilding company and repair facility, it really is just, it is extraordinary.
Well, before we go, let's talk a little bit about your museum and what somebody would see here that's pretty much a hands-on museum.
Quite a variety. We hit all different topics in the maritime world. We do focus primarily in the Door County area, but on the Great Lakes as to a greater extent. We have four major galleries in our location here in Sturgeon Bay, and then we also have Cana Island Lighthouse, which is, it's actually a lighthouse that's, you know, it's still used as a navigational aid. But
that dates back to the Civil War, I think, as I remember.
1869.
Yeah, right after that.
First lit in 1869, built in 1868.
Mm-hmm. Some of the original structure and buildings are out there, right?
All of them. We still have the barn there. We still have the original outbuildings. The privy's still there. The old fuel house. In fact, the fuel house in itself is extremely, I was going to say rare, but that might not even be the word, because the president of the U.S. Lighthouse Society took a look at it, and he said he's never seen nothing like it. And we've got one here.
How do you get out the island?
Up to Door County. Once you get up to Door County, then you split off onto Highway 57 out of Sturgeon Bay. You get up to Bailey's Harbor. Just north of Bailey's Harbor, you take a right onto Highway Q. And then about 3 miles down the road, look for the signs that say Cana Island Road. And from there, there are signs that will direct you. You come to a parking lot, you park there, and you actually walk across the causeway to get to the island.
It's a
land bridge. But what's really striking about Cana Island is, it's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And because there's been such an effort to make sure that we're doing a great job of making sure that the history stays alive, so we're making efforts to restore it right now. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're doing a campaign to do a complete interior restoration and do a visitor center off-site close to it, so then we can restore the inside to where it should be.
Is there an admission charge? Pretty reasonable.
Very reasonable. Yeah. And that's what we try to keep, you know, the prices as low as we can, because we want to make it affordable for, you know, families. Yeah. And, of course, there are costs associated. We are a nonprofit. We do charge a fee, but that's basically just to, you know, keep the operation going and we can
keep the lights on.
Right, because, you know, that's our mission is we want to make sure that we're doing a good job of keeping the history alive.
In addition to the wonderful historic photographs you have and the ship's models, you have ships out front. You have firefighters and tugboats. Tell us about some of the actual maritime vessels that you have here that are real that kids can go aboard.
Oh, yeah. We have the tug John Purvis. That was built in 1919. It was a private tug that was used. Then it also actually served in World War II, supplied the garrisons in the Aleutians during World War II. Came back. Its original job was actually to serve as a floating radio for down in
transmitter.
Down in the Caribbean. And then it came back as a Great Lakes tug, and the Rowan Steamship Company actually owned it. It served them for quite a long time. It was sold and then came back to us in 2003. And from 2003 to 2008, we did a full restoration, and now we give tours on it.
Is it still seaworthy in that it can fire up and travel around under its own steam? Or
no, I don't think the transmission actually works in it anymore. So it's staying put. You get on it, it's like stepping back in time. When it was restored, it was done back to the 1950s. And so, you know, you get on board, it's like you're on a tugboat, working tugboat in the 1950s. So
very, very cool. Adam, thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely.
For further information about the museum,
go to DoorCountyMaritimeMuseum.org.
Thanks, Adam.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.